We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Nueces, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And you know him, you love him. Right next to me, I have
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful South St. Louis.
Yeah, with all the concrete and the smog and the...
Don't rub it in. We have our little community garden. It's growing and flourishing. And
trying to replace the CO2 or whatever it is you need to replace.
Not quite the fruited plains of New Athens, but...
Right. No jumping carp in your community, is there? The beauty of nature, watching the carp come up and slap you in the face.
Oh, that sounds wonderful,
it
John.
Is.
That's great.
What are we doing here? All right, we better get this out of the way because I know people have been waiting with bated breath. The WWB brain teaser. Here it is again. Are you ready, Matt?
I am ready.
Brain teaser. Take away my first letter and I sound the same. Take away my last letter, I still sound the same. Even take away the letter in the middle and I will still sound the same. I'm a five-letter word. When am I? Do you want to announce it?
I've been racking my brain all week, John.
Brain?
And the thing that's killing me is I know our wives got this.
And they won't tell us, will they? They'd say, you got to figure it out yourself.
Okay. And the answer is, the five-letter word is empty.
Empty. Isn't that neat?
Empty.
So think about it. Take away the E.
Okay.
And you still got M-T.
T.
M-T.
Take away the Y.
And you still have
T.
M-T.
Take away the P in the middle,
you still have
M-T.
Yeah.
Look at
that. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
What kind of crazy word is that, that you can take all these letters out and it would still sound the same?
Well, why are we using all these letters then?
I have no idea.
Kind of wasting letters, I'm thinking.
Well, you were all about the environment. We need to start conserving letters. There might be some shortage
of
letters.
Being wasteful with letters. That's good. I like this.
So write
this
it out
nice.
At home, E-M-P-T-Y, and check it out and see if it isn't true. You can get rid of the first,
Very
the last,
nice.
The middle, and it'll still say empty.
I like these brain teasers.
Yep. That's the only one I got, though.
That's great. Well, we're relying on listeners to send a few more in. So where are they supposed to email?
I think it's KFUOWB@gmail.com.
Just call the station. They'll be more than happy. Ask for Mark Hawkinson, and he'll be happy to take down your brain teaser.
By the way, you know, you were talking about that this fellow from the Dakotas came in and didn't mention that he listens to us. We actually got money in the mail. Someone sent a gift to the church in the name of Wrestling with a Basic. Isn't that amazing?
We did too.
Did you really?
We did.
So for the first time, we're making cash.
Watch out.
After all these years, we're actually making a profit.
Is that a first?
I wonder if it was the same person.
I don't know.
Do you know who sent it in to you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I know. Yeah.
Were her initials MM?
Well, I'll have to look.
Okay. Oh, well, so you don't remember.
Well, I want to double check.
Okay. All righty.
I didn't know we were going to talk about this over the air, but no, it's fine, and very thankful, cool.
Thanks, people,
for listening.
Thank you, Michelle.
That's
really
great.
Nice. Yeah, because actually we do it for free, so that's fine. But if you want to send gifts, that's fine, too. Before we go any further, Luke 16, by the way, for those of you that are following along at home, because did you know that we have people that follow along at home?
Isn't that great?
Yeah. So
and in the car and all the
place. Well, not in the car because you got to be driving. Well, if you're the passenger.
And there's someone who was working out, right?
That's right.
At the gym, they're following along.
They're following along.
That's great.
So if it's possible for you to have your Bible open it up to Luke 16 right now and get ready for this. But I did want to share one other thought with you. I read across this beautiful, and I think it's going to kind of be my life's motto now. I dream of a world where we do not question the motives for a chicken crossing the road. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we had where we didn't question why they wanted to cross the road?
The age-old question.
Yes.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Why do we have to question that? If they want to cross the road, let them cross the road. That's my thing. Yeah. I want to live in a world we don't always question the motives of the chickens. That's what I want to live in. So I'm going to live by that.
A simpler world.
Simpler world.
That sounds nice.
That's right. All right, enough of that. We need to get on to the story of the rich man of Lazarus, Luke 16:19. You ready to do that?
I am ready to jump right in.
Okay. I'm an old guy. You're a young guy. But I found two things in this text that I had never seen before in my 39, I think that's it, years of ministry. I'd never noticed these details before. So we'll see if maybe you've noticed them. Oh, I saw that right away. Okay.
But that's so exciting. And we've said this before in the air, but those new insights all the time, you know, and myself included, and you as an older guy included.
Yeah.
That's what makes studying the scriptures so fun.
Yeah.
One of the many things.
And it is amazing, seriously, because, you know, you do this text, you're in the 3-year lectionary. Mm-hmm. So you do this text probably every 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In the 1-year lectionary, we do it every year. Well, let's read it. Let's read it. And I'll show you some new things that I didn't learn
let's
before.
Let's do it.
So verse 19.
Okay.
Verse 19.
There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died, was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side.
All right, let's just stop there. Now, this part, I don't think is anything new. When you've preached on this text before, haven't you, Matt? You've dealt with this text.
Yeah. Okay. That's a beautiful one, boy.
And I'm assuming that you probably say, we have this great morality story here about a bad man and a good man. Is that how you preach about it?
Well, not quite.
Not quite. No, we don't. So, because it's not an issue, it's not a morality tale. It's not an issue of bad guys and good guys. What's the difference between these two people?
Well, faith, ultimately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Maybe we haven't mentioned it in the last few weeks, but we are Lutheran. I'm sorry. Please forgive
us. The cat's out of the bag. Are you questioning our motives? We're Lutherans.
But I'm just saying that's how Lutherans think. We want to talk about Jesus, and we want to talk about faith. And for us, that's the distinction between these two characters. It's not that one guy's a good guy and the other guy's a bad guy. No, the one guy is acting in faith. The other guy is acting in unbelief. But here's the little details I never noticed about that relate to that.
Good.
I lost it. Luke, oh, there it is. My goodness, for a second, I thought I'd lost the Bible. There is something in the description of the rich man that indicates his unbelief. And I'd never noticed this before. And this, by the way, comes from some 500-year-old commentaries, just to show you that I'm an old guy. So I do some old stuff. So read that again about the description of the man.
There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and in fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day.
Now, the old commentaries say the key thing is here is that he feasted sumptuously how?
Every day.
Now, is it wrong to feast sumptuously?
No.
No. Have you done any feasting sumptuously lately? Any celebrations, any parties going on?
Every night.
No, that's the problem. It's the everyday thing.
I thought that's where you were going.
but seriously, have you had any birthday parties or anything?
Well, sure. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
my brother-in-law just had a birthday, and we went out on a boat, and we had a meal out on the boat. We had cold cuts, you know, sandwiches. But then my in-laws got out from the cooler a Boston cream pie.
Whoa,
one of my favorites.
Talk about feasting sumptuously.
And we feasted sumptuously.
I don't know if people remember that. He's a pie man. You want to make Matt happy, send him a pie.
That's right.
And just about any pie, isn't
it? Fruit
pies, cream pies.
Yeah, because they got out the Boston cream pie, and then they got out the apple pie.
Whoa!
Equally as good.
Sumptuously.
That was sumptuous.
Because that's the thing. You know, you could have the one pie. That would not qualify as sumptuousness, but to have a cream pie and a fruit pie.
That's sumptuous. That qualifies.
So Roger Springle, dear Roger Springle, used to be the district exec. Well, he still is for a few more weeks until the new guy comes in the 1st of August. He's the district exec there in Southern Illinois. So they had a retirement banquet for him, and they had fried chicken, and they had roast beef, and they had all kinds of fixings and everything. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's a nice thing to have a sumptuous banquet for someone you love and to show your honor for them. There's nothing wrong with that. But the old Lutheran commentary said the problem was he did this
every day,
which is to say he didn't do it to honor anyone. He didn't do it to love anyone. He did it because he liked it. It was good for him. It made him happy. That was the whole center and focus of his life. That was his God. That's what he believed in. Whatever makes me happy, that's what I want to do, and that's where I worship, and that's my church, and that's the center of my life. So that was the evidence of his unbelief, because it was all about him and what he could do for himself.
Yeah. So don't feast sumptuously every day is what you're saying, huh?
No. Well, unless, of course, you've got some reason to love and to care for people, then that would be all right.
I agree. And I think of the first commandment, that what we love more than all things. And he seemed to love himself pretty much here and to love that feasting and gluttony, maybe even. So, yeah, I think it's a point well made. Just from that act, we kind of get a glimpse into the character and perhaps lack of faith of this rich man.
And the sad thing is, where there is a lack of faith in God, where God is not at the center of your life, but rather your possessions or whatever is at the center, your sumptuous banqueting, then that'll affect everybody around you too. And so we've got this guy right outside his gate, and there's no love, there's no compassion, no concern for this man. Again, one of the commentators I read said, the rich man has no excuse. He can't say, well, I didn't know the guy. Well, of course, you knew him by name, Lazarus. Well, he could have helped himself, right? That's what we say. These poor people, let them help themselves. Well, maybe in some cases that's true, but certainly not true here, right? This guy's covered with sores. Dogs are licking him. No, he's a beggar. And then, of course, the final excuse is, well, when did I have a chance to help him? Well, come on, he's right outside your door. Every day you had a chance to help him. So there you go. Terrible, terrible picture. Not of a bad man, but of unbelief and what comes from unbelief.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm going to challenge you. Because I didn't know this, but you're a young guy.
All right.
Maybe
Wait,
I didn't
I mean,
know
what
it.
Is it?
But when
is
I was
it,
your age, maybe I didn't know it. But now I've just forgotten.
It's a Bible brain teaser.
So what's the evidence of the poor man's faith? What do you see in him that there's the evidence of his faith, that he is a believer?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting. Well, you said helping, okay?
Yes,
and I don't know if this is an evidence of his faith, but I think it's interesting his name is, Lazarus means the one whom God helps.
All right,
I think that's
I'll
really
that.
Cool. All right.
I agree with you.
But yet he's helpless. You know, he's not even, he doesn't even have the power to even prevent dogs from licking his sores. And I, you know, we certainly see a dependence here for help. And his dependence is in the Lord. You know, he can't help himself. The rich man isn't helping him. So what else does he have but God to look to for that help?
For a young guy, you're pretty smart.
So.
Well, no, I agree with you. No, I think that's a great insight. The Lord is my helper, especially when I'm helpless. That's what faith is. When I've got everything, I don't need any faith. I'm taking care of myself.
Yeah.
But it's in our helplessness that we have to have faith. We talked about that a few weeks ago, that ironically, it's in our struggles and trials that we actually pray to God. If God just gave us everything we needed, we'd never pray to him because we'd have it all. But in our suffering and in our crosses, we pray.
Yeah, I think of the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, where he talks about, when I am weak, then I am strong.
There you go.
So true strength, you know, in the eyes of the world, is what the rich man have. Who's the strong guy here? The guy
That's
who feasts sumptuously in purple. You know, he's got power. But in reality, the one who's strong here is Lazarus, the helpless one, because, as his name says, the Lord helps.
That's right.
That's what makes him strong, you know, looking to God for that strength.
And we can see that in his life, because he doesn't curse God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what Job's wife said to him?
Curse God and die.
Nope, not doing that. Not grumbling and complaining like the children of Israel, who, by the way, didn't have it as bad at all as this guy had it. They were grumbling, no grumbling, no complaints about the Lord. But now here's the little phrase that I never really picked up on before again. So here's the second new. So the first new thing I learned was this: every day. That shows the unbelief. Here's the thing that shows his faith. read it again about Lazarus.
Sure.
What it says about Lazarus.
And at the gate was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table.
That's the phrase I never appreciated before. He desired to be filled with what?
What fell from the rich man's table.
Which is to say, he didn't resent the rich man, did he? He wasn't envious of the rich man. Mm-hmm. He didn't think, man, I wish I could be sitting up there banqueting sumptuously. But, you know, the things that you don't really need, the things you're just going to sweep away into the dumpster anyway, that would be good. I would take that. What a powerful example of a man's love, that in his suffering and everything, he does not covet the things that the rich man has.
Mm-hmm.
But again, as you pointed out earlier, he simply trusts that the Lord is my helper. He'll give me what I need, even if the rich man won't even give me the crumbs off of his table. Luther points out one other way that this man shows his faith, and that is, you might look at this story as an example of this man's love for us. Now here's
okay.
what Luther meant by that. We all have our times when we're like Lazarus. Maybe not as bad as it is, but then again, maybe it has been. Maybe some of our listeners have had struggles as severe as what Lazarus had. And of course, Lazarus is suffering through these things, struggling with these things to remind us that God still loves us. See, that's the point of this story, mm-hmm. that the Lord is still my helper, even when I can't see that in my day-to-day life. Because what happens at the end of this story?
Well, I mean, at his death, he's carried to Abraham's side. We see that.
Yeah. In the bosom of Abraham.
Yeah. And I think that's a beautiful point, because that's what elevates the story above just being this moral tale of a good guy and a bad guy.
Yeah.
This love of God for both of them, but this love shown in Lazarus's life in particular. Welcome to Abraham's side.
So if anyone out there is getting struggles and trials, you got your crosses, please remember the story. You cannot judge whether God loves you or not on the basis of what's going on in your day-to-day life. As you already said, Matt, you could have all kinds of blessings. You could have more possessions than anyone else in this world. That doesn't mean God loves you. In fact, you could die and go to Hades like this man did. That could be. But certainly, if you're having struggles and trials, you can't say, well, I guess God hates me, or God's punishing me, or maybe God just doesn't care one way or the other about me. No. Because when we die, God's going to send his angels personally to us to take us and gather us together in that place where there will be peace and contentment and joy. And unlike our crosses here that are temporary and passing, what we have there will last for us eternally. So it's just a really, really great, great story. And a reminder, you cannot judge God's love on the basis of what's happening in your life right here and now. In fact, Matt, really the only way you can judge God's love is through what his son Jesus has done, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think of the suffering that God the Father allowed his son to endure, right? And that's not because he didn't love his son, Jesus Christ. No, he allowed him to suffer. And what a great sacrifice that was for the Father. And he did it out of love for us. So, I mean, in the suffering of Jesus, I think we see that the love of the Father, but also the Father's love for us and the Son's love for us.
That's an incredible thought, isn't it, Matt? That, that suffering and struggle of Jesus was not because of God's hatred, but was his love for the Son, and even more so, his love for you and me.
Yeah,
that's
incredible.
That's incredible. Now, here's the only thing, though. I have to kind of say this. This story still makes me feel sad, because the truth is, I'm probably more like the rich man than I care to acknowledge. That I often do get wrapped up in my possessions and mm-hmm. my things, too, mm-hmm. and kind of mm-hmm. my life focuses and circles around them, and maybe I've been a little tight with other people because of that. And I'll tell you this much, I'm certainly not like the poor man Lazarus. When I have problems, I grumble. I do grumble. I do complain. I would hope, though, that I don't go seeking other gods, that my complaints are addressed to the Lord himself, and I know he listens to me like a dear father listens to a dear child. And I will also confess that I am kind of envious sometimes, you know. I see what other people have, and I kind of wish, well, why didn't you give that to me, God, as well? Mm-hmm. But the comfort I find in this text is this. Not only can't we judge God's love for us on the basis of what's happening in our lives, whether we've got blessings or struggles, I don't think you can judge God's love for you on the basis of your works either, on what you have done or what you have not done. Again, it goes back to what we said before. the only way you know the love of God for you is through his son, Jesus Christ. That's the only evidence we have. So don't judge by what's going on in your life. Don't judge by what you yourself are doing. Certainly, if you find yourself like the rich man, then what should we do, Matt?
Repent.
Yeah, we need to go and acknowledge the Lord. We're not trusting him the way we should. We're not loving our neighbor the way we should. But then don't let the law come into your head and say, well, then I guess God's going to punish you. No. Just go back to those beautiful stories that we have in the scripture about, no, God loved you enough, as you said, to send his son to die for you. So no, you still have that love and mercy of God. And then, of course, I think as we grow in that love and mercy of God, we'll grow in our love for one another. I really think it's true. We love because he first loved us.
Yeah.
So where there's no love, then there's not going to be love for the brother. And where there is a real knowledge of how much God loves us despite our sins and our weaknesses, it'll bear fruit then of our love for one another.
Yeah, I like that idea of our God's love isn't, we don't judge God's love by our circumstances. It's not like if we're having a bad day, well, God doesn't love me much today. Yeah. If we're having a good day, God really loves me today. You know, it's not dependent upon something subjective and changing, but it's that steadfast love of that unchanging God for us.
And if you're having trouble loving somebody, because maybe you actually find yourself in the position of the rich man right now, maybe there's somebody outside your door, and for whatever reason, you're just having trouble really loving him, I don't think the solution is for you to think, well, I better try harder. Because what you'll do is you'll just kind of do the very minimum you can do for him to ease your conscience. Mm-hmm. That's the best you'll get out of that. But I think, just like you said, Matt, what you got to do is you just got to repent and say, Lord, and there's something in me, Lord, that I cannot overcome. I've tried it. It's there. I've born in it. It's in my flesh. And the only thing I can do then is turn and trust in your grace and your mercy. I don't know how other people conduct their worship, but I will say this much. I think one of the really, really good things we do in Lutheran worship is we begin with that confession, and then, of course, with the absolution. Mm-hmm. These beautiful words that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. And then, of course, the beautiful words that you get to speak as a pastor. Could be spoken by any Christian, I suppose, because it's not that like pastors have the power to forgive exclusively given to them. It is given to all. But to be able to say to them, you know what, for all your weaknesses and all your sins, God has forgiven you. And the proof and evidence of that is that he actually came to this earth and died for you. If you have any question about whether he really forgives you, just remind yourself what Jesus Christ has done. Matt, you were talking about some things you might want to do in the future here?
Well, I was just... you bet. At Ascension, we're doing a little series this summer on the Lord's Prayer. So there's this really neat resource. We have some members that enjoy reading about theology and different things like that, which is awesome, boy.
Yeah.
But a couple of people said, hey, Pastor, you got to check out this book. So it's this book about the Lord's Prayer, Our Way Home, Our Journey Home. It's by a professor up at Concordia Mequon,
cool.
Pastor Pavlo. So
what's the name of the book again?
I got to double check.
Think. I'm sorry.
I've got it right here. Here, one
okay.
second. I don't want to give the listeners the wrong book title because that would be bad. But let's see here. Okay. No, you caught
people,
me off guard,
that,
John.
The thing that makes our show better than any other show is the show prep.
I know. That's right. Hours and hours. Okay. Our Way Home, A Journey Through the Lord's Prayer.
And what was the professor's name again?
Daniel E. Pavlo. So,
is this available at Concordia Publishing House?
It is. Yes.
Cool.
So, it's worth reading. So I've been reading that as a pastor, but then also we're doing a sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. We don't, we pray that prayer all the time. We don't give thought to the words, perhaps, as much as we should. Maybe as pastors, we're most guilty of that, so familiar with those words. But to slow down, to think through those words, what is prayer in general, and what is the Lord's Prayer? And just as the disciples called out, teach us how to pray. That's our prayer, too. Teach us how to pray, and Jesus does.
So we will start dealing with that when you meet with us next Saturday. I also have some special guests that we're going to be joining us next Saturday.
Oh, boy.
So some exciting things as we continue WWB in the summer.